a Methodist pastor, tells the story of looking through the newspaper a few years ago and seeing an advertisement in the one ad section unlike any he'd ever seen. In big bold letters at the top of the little box, it said, "Used tombstone." The ad's text read as follows: "Used tombstone for sale. Real bargain to someone named Dingo. For more information, call," and gave the phone number. You have to admit, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why does someone have a used tombstone that they no longer need? And is there anyone else named Dingo who could use it? Why is there an ad for a used tombstone? It's hard to understand. We assume with burial, with tombstones placed, that becomes permanent. And those who put Jesus into the tomb many years ago assumed that was every bit as permanent. On this Easter Sunday, we celebrate that something we could not have conceived took place. In a world that tells us that death is final, we gather to celebrate on Easter Sunday that in Jesus Christ, who was dead, God brought back new life, raising Jesus from the dead. But Mary Magdalene and the others who went to the tomb on that day weren't expecting anything like that. John's gospel that you heard at the beginning of the service tells the familiar story, the beloved story. Mary Magdalene going out to the tomb with all the grief overflowing her heart. She had loved Jesus. She had followed Him. She had probably joined the other disciples in dreaming dreams of what He was going to be and the changes that was going to bring for her and everyone around her. She had hopes of what this was going to mean for her people of Israel. And then she had watched as Jesus was beaten and put to death. He was dead. Not knowing what else to do, and yet wanting and needing to do something, she prepared spices. She wanted to anoint Him for burial. She wanted to at least feel like she was doing something useful, even if it felt like not nearly enough. And so, probably early that Sunday morning, with tears in her eyes, she went out to the tomb to grieve, to do what she could to prepare the body, to offer whatever love and grace she could offer in a situation that felt dark and filled with despair. She couldn't likely conceive anything positive happening. But then she found the tomb empty, called for a couple other disciples, and even after they had come and gone, facing this news, she still couldn't quite make sense of it. With tears in her eyes, she doesn't even recognize the presence of Jesus when He appears. And in a wonderful moment, Jesus calls her name, Mary. And her eyes are open. We all understand how significant it is to have someone know our name and call us by name, right? You get called by the wrong name, it just hits you funny. You realize somebody you know doesn't know your name and it hits you weird. Here in that moment, I think it was powerful and profound that in the speaking of her name, His identifying her, she recognized that this was indeed Jesus who had come back to life. Her grief disappeared. Her amazement overflowed. She probably couldn't have sat down and written a paper to explain how all this happened, but it didn't matter. Jesus was alive and He was there in front of her, And she grabbed onto him and held him in a hug that could have gone on indefinitely. But Jesus sent her back to announce to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And with that announcement, everything changed. The world changed. Christ was risen. And the risen Christ changes what life means for all of us. In Corinthians, Paul described the appearances of the risen Christ and even talks about how Christ appeared to him, Saul become Paul, transforming his life. And if we'd read further in 1 Corinthians 15, we would have seen him talking more about the resurrection of Christ being the first fruits, the beginning, an indication that because Jesus rose, we too can experience new life. The resurrection of Christ is not just some wonderful historical event. It changes the way we live. It can change the way we approach life. It invites us to experience grace and new life as we give our lives to Jesus. It invites us to experience forgiveness as we open our lives to God and let Him begin to change us to become like Jesus. And it changes the way we view the world around us. Because the resurrection shows us that even when things seem darkest, God's not done. Even when we experience the agony and pain and darkness of Good Friday, God's never finished. Because the last word in the gospel is the word of resurrection. And it's the promise of life eternal, but not only life after death, but new life in this world in a relationship with God who loves us. And Scripture tells us that because of the resurrection, we can see the world differently. This doesn't deny that darkness is real, that death happens. But even in the darkest tragedies of our lives, God can bring new life. Even in the situations where we see only despair, God can bring new beginnings. This doesn't mean bad things don't happen. It doesn't mean that tragedies don't occur for Christians. But it means even in our darkest valley, we look to God and believe that He can work all things together for good. Even where we see brokenness, despair, violence, pain, God is still in the life-giving business. And we're invited to see in this world God's possibilities, God's hope, God's resurrecting power, even when others don't have the chance to see it. How many of you have been to Walt Disney World? I figured most. It's become an amazing attraction. Parks, hotels, shopping, dining, entertainment, all beginning in 1971 with Walt Disney World, and adding all this extra over the years. It clearly is doing its purpose in drawing people to come spend their money and find fun. Somewhere a couple years ago, in the midst of looking at all that this had developed into, one of the employees was standing there talking to one of the heads of the company and said, "You know, it's too bad Walt Disney didn't live to see this." And the gentleman, Mike Vance, who was creative director for Disney Studios at the time, looked back at this employee and simply said, "He did see it. That's why it's here." He saw what no one else could see. He saw a possibility when others saw just wasteland. Walt Disney had a dream and a vision of possibilities. And Easter invites us as Christians to live with a vision of God's possibilities even when the darkness seems dark, even when the pain seems too painful, even when life seems to be falling in on us. Because of Easter, we who may feel stuck in our sin, stuck in our struggles, stuck in our pain, are invited to believe that our God can bring new life. Whatever it is in your life that's causing you struggle, God can bring hope. God, who brought Jesus back from the dead, can bring healing, hope, new beginnings, no matter what our situation may be and no matter how it feels to us. One of my favorite Easter-related quotes is by Frederick Buechner, and I've shared it on Easter before, but it bears repeating because it reminds us, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. Resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. We're invited to live with a vision of God's possibilities. We're to live with a conviction that we see and hear the presence of God even when so much seems dark around us. Sometimes when I go walking around the lake in our neighborhood, I see somebody who's walking and has their earphones on. And every so often they're getting into a good part of the music and they're walking, but they're dancing too. Their feet are moving, their body's moving, they're going to the beat of whatever's coming through their earphones. And I can just look at them because I can't hear what they're hearing. But they're walking through life hearing something I can't hear, and they're moving to the beat of the music. In a sense, we as Christians in this world are invited to move to the beat of the resurrection music even when the world around doesn't hear it. We're invited to live with a faith that sees God's possibilities even when the world may tell us there's no hope. For Easter means that there is hope for relationships in trouble, hope for those struggling with addiction, hope for those feeling broken and at the end of their rope. Hope, no matter what you're carrying, whatever grief, pain, heartbreak, God's not finished yet. God raised Jesus from the dead, and He brings new life into us and into this world in the midst of our brokenness. Perhaps you remember the story of Helen Keller, the one with so many disabilities who became such an amazing inspiration with the things she learned to do and the ways she blessed others. Once someone asked Helen Keller if there was anything worse than being blind. And she said, "Oh yes, there is something worse than being blind. It's being able to see and not have any vision." Faith gives us a vision that sees more than our eyes can see. Easter invites us to see God at work even in the darkest moments. Easter invites us to believe that God's possibilities are real and life-changing. And that no matter where we feel stuck, God's not finished. God's in the life-giving business. God can meet us where we are and transform us. God can meet us where we are and grant us a new beginning. God can bring life precisely where we need it most. And faith invites us to believe and look for the presence and work of God. Remember, Hebrews 11 tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith invites us to live each day remembering Easter, as dark as Good Friday was for Mary Magdalene. Imagine that moment when Jesus called her name and everything changed. Easter is a message of hope. And on this day, God calls our names inviting us to believe, to hope, to live with faith and trust that He is bringing new life for you and for me. And so we can start each day asking ourselves, what if this is real? What if God is bringing life today? What new work can God do in my life today because He could raise Jesus from the dead? On this day, we celebrate a good and amazing gift. And we're reminded that we can face the darkness, the struggle, the pain with hope because Christ is risen. In Philip Yancey's book called Vanishing Grace, there's a story about a minister friend. This friend heard that there was a group doing a survey of Americans. The survey they were taking was asking people, what word or words would you most like to hear? Now, I don't know what happened with that survey, but the minister friend of Yancey said, I bet you the first three answers will be these. He said, I bet the first answer will be, I love you. The second answer will be, I forgive you. And the third answer will be, supper's ready. On Easter Sunday morning, we're coming to celebrate all three of those words have been spoken to us. Jesus Christ died on the cross, taking on Himself our sin, showing us how much He loved us. Through the cross, He offers us forgiveness. There is nothing you have done so big, so bad, that Jesus Christ cannot and will not forgive you and let you start a new life. There is nothing that keeps God from loving you the way you are. You are loved. You're forgiven. And on this Easter Sunday, the table is set before us, a reminder that as children of God, we're invited to His banquet table. The meal's not complete until we join Him. He invites us to join Him at His table because we're family. And in this world and in the next life, we're invited to the table. Supper's ready. The risen Christ is our host. And He says, come and eat and live each day with hope, with power, with faith that Christ is risen and we are invited to life. Will you pray with me? You have given us so much, Lord. And You have invited us to Your table. We come grateful for Your gift and praying that You will give us eyes to see and faith to believe that You are alive and You invite us to new life as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.